Questions and answers in Islamic upbringing.
I have a son. He's really in fond of football, and he's so weak in his lesson courses. I really don't know what should I do.
Could you tell me when we have to start upbringing of our kids, that is, from the very beginning of the birth?
I have a little son, and he's so disrespectful. I want to know how to treat him according to the teachings of the Ahlul Bayt, peace be upon them.
Answering parents' questions in upbringing their children in an Islamic way.
Do you know what Islam is? It's a way of life for all. It is taught in the Quran for big and small.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Assalamu alaikum, dear listeners of IRIB English Radio. A very warm welcome. You are listening to Islamic Upbringing. I'm your host, Zainab. And today, in our studio, we have with us our special guest, Professor Salman Nakavi. Assalamu alaikum, Professor.
Alaikum assalam wa rahmatullah.
Dear listeners, Professor Nakavi is a faculty member at the Al-Mustafa University and a research scholar over here in the Hawza Ilmi of Qom. And we have been discussing a series of, we went through a series of episodes with Professor Nakavi where we discussed the levels of tarbiyah and most important topics of tarbiyah Islamic upbringing with him. And today we are continuing some important topic with him. Professor, we had a very interesting question. Where a three-year-old was making some mistake and a mother was concerned about the future of the child, she was wondering if the child could repeat the mistake and not accept his mistakes in future. Well, we do have so many people around today who are even adults. They don't accept their mistakes, even if they are wrong at some place where they should accept their mistakes. What do you think? What does go wrong in the upbringing that leads to this thing, that they do not accept the mistakes as they grow up?
Number one, they should be, when they observe their parents, they don't learn this from their parents. As I said, if we were, as parents, if we were giving them a good example of accepting each other's mistakes, even if we've not made a mistake, and as I mentioned before, if my wife feels offended, and it's not because of any wrong things that I've done. She feels offended by some action or my behavior, but it's not a wrong behavior. Even then, if I accept that, okay, I made a mistake, I'm sorry, let's forget it. Then that is a way of showing my children that you can accept mistakes even if you have not committed them. I mean, just to appease a person whom you love, or you can accept your mistakes even if they are not apparently your mistakes. So that's one thing, that we don't find good examples in our lives, especially from our parents, from our elderly people. All the time we're seeing each other blaming each other. This is one situation. Another situation is that maybe as a child, our parents, or especially our mothers, were always defensive and trying to justify what we've done. So that
exactly. That's what most mothers do.
So one thing is that the mother scolds you tells you off in front of others. That's something not good, especially for something which is very, very not a big mistake at all. And secondly, mothers start justifying the mistakes that we have made. For example...
So there are two factors basically behind the fact. Okay.
So that sometimes you find mothers scolding, instead of telling them the child to take care of the door which is in front of him or her when he's going to the other room, instead of taking care and hitting the
door. Now if he strikes the door.
Instead of opening it properly, the door slams upon him and he's hurt about that by that. So the mother would start hitting the door, that the door was wrong in doing so, whereas the child carried out the mistake. Now, again, you're not supposed to scold him, or you're not supposed to tell him that it was not a good thing you did. You should have opened the door properly, for example. So we need to teach them what the right thing is.
Yeah.
That is important. But how we do it is very important. And certainly it's not good to always, you know, reprimand them and to tell them off that, oh, you're making mistakes. No, tell them what the right thing is to do. Tell them what the right thing, what is the right thing to do and how it should be done properly. Show them, oh, look, this is how you should open a door instead of, you know, bashing into it.
Kicking the door and bashing the door itself.
Yes.
All right. So it's actually, if your child is hurt by a door, for example, you don't have to bash the door. You have to actually teach your child how to take care when he's going in and out of the room, rather than bashing the door, because this way he's not going to accept mistakes. Here he thinks door was wrong, and in future he thinks others were wrong. Well, we're going to discuss more after a short break, so stay tuned.
This is Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran.
Contact us at EnglishRadio@irib.ir.
Welcome back. You're listening to Islamic Upbringing. This is IRIB English Radio. I'm Zainab. I'm with Professor Naqavi, and we were talking about the adults who don't accept their mistakes as they grow up, or the teens as they are in the late teens and they don't accept their mistakes. Where does upbringing go wrong? Professor Naqavi, the first thing you said is that mothers, either they have scolded a lot, or parents, both the parents, the father, the mother, or both of them have scolded the child so much for a mistake that he's not going to accept it any time in the future. Or the second thing, whenever your child was doing wrong, rather than teaching him, you were actually bashing this and that, even the non-living things, like we gave the example of a door. Well, that was about this question. Now we have another question. This is a lady who is 67 years old, and she wonders about her granddaughters who take less care of hijab, or who are actually more concerned about their clothes and their outlooks, because she says, what I have learned throughout my age is that if time goes back and I had to rectify something, is not to spend so much money on how we look like, because others don't give a damn. But my granddaughters are actually doing the same thing, and even modesty is getting diminished day by day. So how do we help them?
So actually, you can't go back in time and change your behavior. So that's the issue. That is the reason why all this is happening. That the example they have seen all their lives was their mothers giving so much attention to their makeup and to their apparent features and their clothes and how they, you know, dress up, how they make up, how they even show off their ornaments and jewelry and all that. So it becomes a vicious cycle. Some sort of, all the time we're looking as what others feel, how others feel about us, and how others should be. You know, we want to show off in front of them. So our children would certainly learn the same thing. Now, of course, there comes a certain age in adolescence, especially girls, they want to, and boys even, they want to show off what they are.
They're more concerned about what others think of me.
Yes, and their own features are important. They really get
obsessed
with their own features. And they feel they give excessive time to how they look, and how others would look up to them. So this is a situation which has to be tackled in a very sensitive manner. This form of expression of one's inner energy should be given other channels. I mean, the expression should not be just with one's own features or one's own expressions or clothing or apparently how we look. It can be transferred and channelized into other positive, constructive activities where where we allow our children to express their innovation and their creativity,
yeah,
and how they can, you know, change things for the better, take care of others. So
right,
this is what they should be learning at school. They should be learning at home. For example, I may have mentioned this. There's a school principal that I know of. When I went to his home, there was a cycle, bicycle, which was a motorcycle, a bicycle. A smaller child was opening, tearing it down and building it up, or the motorcycle, or whatever, different gadgets. They were there in the house, in the garage, where the children were free to do whatever they liked.
So constructing things.
They were constructing and
that ability, basically.
So
yeah,
this feeling of being able to express oneself can be channelized into constructive things.
We'll discuss more after a short break. Dear listeners, stay tuned with us.
The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam said, "A righteous child is indeed a flower from the flowers of paradise."
Welcome back. You're listening to Islamic Upbringing. I'm with Professor Naqavi. Professor Naqavi, you were saying that constructive ideas should be put into, actually, we should be working upon the constructive part of our children before it becomes destructive.
One of the basic senses, or one of the dimensions of human nature is aesthetics, beauty. Everyone is concerned with this. It's something which is intrinsic in our human nature. All as we like knowledge, we are obsessed with knowledge. We want to acquire knowledge. As we, in the same way, we like things which are beautiful.
Yeah.
So we are looking for beauty everywhere. So the sense of aesthetics is there in all human beings, and this sense has to be somehow coordinated with the sense of beauty which we have in the creations of Allah Almighty. This feeling of this obsession with beauty somehow should be synchronized with the beauty of the creation of the universe.
Yeah.
And to be able to replicate that in our lives. For example, just give me an example. When one paints something, makes a painting, or makes a, for example, a drawing of something which is natural.
All right.
So there's a connection here being created between the natural beauty which is out there,
yeah,
and the beauty which is within us, to be able to create that thing which replicates that natural beauty.
All right. That's so beautiful.
So this is how we can somehow make our children interact with nature, the true beauty of the nature, which is a manifestation of God's power and will. So that is important, how we channelize that feeling of, you know, expressing yourself and showing yourself off. It can be made to be manifested in different activities which are pastimes or hobbies, which should become a part of our daily lives. And so today, unfortunately, taking care of these
materialistic apparent features.
I mean, if you're not giving them this opportunity, then they're going to be engaged with
the same passion somewhere else. Because yeah, if we contemplate about Surah Adiyat, Allah Subhanahu wa Taala says that in the contemplation of the surah, that He has kept some passion within us, but He wants us to use that passion to move towards Him. But we are moving, actually running, like the fast running horses who are running in their races towards the dunya, towards the other things. And then He says, "Inna al-insana li rabbihi lakanud." Indeed, the humankind is so ungrateful towards their God, because the passion that was supposed to take us towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is actually taking us away, far away from Him, because we have used the same passion against Him, not towards Him. Thank you so much, Professor, for being with us. Thank you so much to our listeners. Until another session, wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Do you know what Islam says? It says that life's the greatest test. It says that life's a borrowed space, returned upon rest. A way of life, a way of life, a way of life, a way of life. Islam is a way of life, a complete way.